Pathfinders, Human Factories, from the February 2026 Socialist Standard. With cinema takings falling in recent years due to online streaming, Hollywood has resorted to transparent attempts to lure in the lucrative female demographic through girl boss films, which show women in history dramas wielding huge swords and beating up men twice their size, outshining, outsmarting, and indeed humiliating them at every turn. This has been widely derided as wokeism, but women are unlikely to be fooled by such patronising efforts to empower them for the sake of box office revenue. Unlike media executives spinning fantasies, they know what reality looks like in capitalism, where the pay gap is as wide as ever and domestic violence against women is at epidemic levels. Late last year, a Cornell University study looked at why so few women were found in senior job roles and suggested that women had two strategies or pathways, one that gave them status and the other that gave them power. The study concluded that women achieved status but not power through gender congruent behaviour, in other words, being ladylike and nice to men, whereas gender incongruent behaviour, i.e. being assertive, just like men, or pushy, might achieve power but was less likely to succeed. Small wonder, perhaps, that writers from Charlotte Perkins Gilman onward have speculated about past or future feminist utopias. Back in October 2025, science writer Laura Spinney authored a somewhat tongue-in-cheek Guardian piece entitled "Was Prehistory a Feminist Paradise?" Predictable answer, no. She discusses the Marxist idea that the roots of patriarchy lay in the agricultural revolution, without once mentioning the word property, and with a hand-wavy vagueness that suggests she's never read Engels on the origin of family, private property and the state, and possibly that she's not even heard of it. That might be why the book does not appear in her further reading section. One book that does appear, however, is The Patriarchs by Angela Saini from 2023. This author clearly has read Engels, though initially she seems oddly dismissive. Some property-based communities in India and China, she points out, are known up to comparatively modern times to have been matrilineal, that is to say, inheritance via the female line, and matrilocal, in other words, brides stay at home and the husbands relocate. In these communities, women knew each other, whereas the men didn't, giving women the greater collective influence, and girls tended to be taller than in patrilocal groups, suggesting they were better fed. Given these examples, Saini proposes that Engels overstated the crucial importance of the property mechanism in bringing about the world historic defeat of the female sex. Essentially, she says, it was never that fast or that simple. It becomes clear in the second half of the book that far from dismissing Engels, she's seeking to further develop the implicit consequences of his argument. Property may have provided the mechanism for this historic defeat, she says, but it wasn't initially decisive. What was decisive was the growth of the state machine. Power, she argues, relies on a big army, and this in turn depends on population size. To increase the one, you need to increase the other. How to achieve this? Ruthlessly enforce strict gender roles as either soldier or mother. Use disposable males for farm labour and the military and turn women into baby factories and stay-at-home textile workers. Ancient wars, Saini says, were as much about grabbing extra women as extra land. Women were the first known slaves in Mesopotamia, And obedience to men was baked into ancient cultures and religious texts, including the Bible and Quran. There is a contemporary resonance. Population size today may not equate to military might as it once did, but it's still important to capitalist states. More workers equal more productivity and more profits. Properly staffed infrastructures, healthy tax-funded governments, thriving towns and small businesses, high house prices, and high demand for construction, transport systems, energy use, and so on. Globally, the opposite is happening. Almost everywhere outside sub-Saharan Africa, birth rates are well below replacement levels and falling. While voters in many countries are hypnotized by the populist fever dream of the immigration problem, the better informed know the truth. Capitalism is facing a demographic crisis. When population falls below a certain critical mass, things start to fall apart. Profits shrink, offices are deserted, whole towns are abandoned. Pension and health costs rise inexorably with the median age, paid from a shrinking tax fund and understaffed via a shrinking workforce. The European Commission predicts that by 2070, there will be barely two working age people for every one person over 65. China is thought to be massaging its official figures to disguise a catastrophic population decline. The reasons for all this are well known, to do with better education and access to contraception, and the rising costs of living, housing, and parenthood. And states have begun to fight back. The USSR in 1920 was the first country in the world to legalize abortion, but Stalin reversed the ruling just 16 years later when birth rates started falling. Now pressure is being applied to women in many countries to have more children. The right wing is morphing in sinister and cult-like pro-natalist and Christian trad wife directions. In 2022, the US Supreme Court reversed the Roe v. Wade ruling, effectively banning abortion in many states. In 2024, US Republicans voted against contraception as a federal right. China's President Xi Jinping told a meeting of the All China Women's Federation in 2023 that women should, quote, actively cultivate a new culture of marriage and childbearing, end quote. If Saini's historical analysis is right, the global outlook for women is not encouraging. Capitalist states need more babies, and never mind what women want. And never mind what men want either. The market system makes everyone suffer. For socialists, there's really only one way to permanently destroy the forces that make us all into human factories of one kind or another for the benefits of the rich. And that's by joining forces to bring down not just glass ceilings, but ruling class power.
You have been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. If you would like to find out more, you can visit our website, spgb.net.